Said, we're doing Jewish history, and we're up to the year 2493. We have entered Israel, 5 years have passed, and there's a certain tranquility. Things have calmed down. And it seems like everything's calmed down, but not far from our southern border, Edom and Kittim have gone to war. And Avinus, the king of Katima, he went out to war. He had a lot of Kittim warriors with him. And he went to fight Edom. He went to fight the descendants of Esav. And the king of Edom, called Hadar, he went out to fight him. And he also brought a huge army with him. And Esav lost. And they lost 22,000 men. And then they fled. They captured Hadar, the Edomite king, alive. And Avianus ordered him executed, and they did. And from that point onward, the Edomites were paying taxes to the Kittim. So we have a situation where on our southern front, Edom is actually subservient to the Kittim. We advanced 3 years, and Kalev is 85 years old. And after conquering the 31 kings, there was a king in Armenia whose name was Shovach, and he gathered 45 kings, and together they sent a letter to Yoshua, and there's a whole medrash about this conversation between the world bodies, the world kings, and Yoshua discussing what Yoshua had done to conquer Israel and the future of the world. We're up to the year 2500. And Avianus passes away. He's been king over the Edomite territories for 7 years. And his son Latinus takes the throne. And he goes to fight war in Britain. So we're expanding from the Middle East. And we're expanding into Europe. And he starts conquering the descendants, what we today call the Greeks. That's the race. I don't know which race that is. The Greeks are the Yevanim. Yeah, what race is that in English? And while he's out there in what? Thracian? Okay. So as he's fighting battles and he's conquering parts of Europe, he hears that back in home territory, the Edomites have rebelled under him. And he comes back and he puts them down again. So from that point onward, the Edomites don't have the wherewithal to put together a king, and they are subservient to the Kittim. We're up to the year 2503. And Yoshua divides up the land between the tribes, and then Yoshua passes away. We're up to the year 2514. We've been in Israel now. It's 66 years since we left Egypt. Yoshua's an old man. He's 108 years old. And he gathers all the Jews and the elders and the judges and the policemen, and he says, look, Hashem's fought for you. You've won this land in an unnatural way. Now you have to take it upon yourself to actually keep the Torah now that you have the land. And they make a covenant. And Yoshua takes a huge boulder and he inscribes the covenant in that boulder. It says in the Targum that procession of inscribing it into the boulder was as meaningful for that generation as the two tablets were for the generation of Moshe Rabbeinu. And they established this huge boulder by the gates of Shechem. Inside the pole that holds up the gates of Shechem, they establish that boulder. One of the things they're going to do is, I don't know why they waited this long, 26 years, but they took the bodies of the 12 tribes and buried them. It could be they were waiting to figure out where each tribe would be so they could bury them within the tribe. But that's what it says over here, that they buried each one within their tribe at this point. It goes through where each one's buried. You guys know that on maps. It tells you different where's the burial place of Dan. There are places which we have on tradition where they're buried. And Benjamin was buried by Jerusalem. Joshua reaches the age of 110, and he passes away. When he passes away, everyone's busy settling the land, so no one bothers too much with making him a funeral. They make a modest funeral and not too many eulogies. And so there's a massive, massive volcano at that time and an earthquake. And that's a reflection of Hashem's anger at Israel. What's going on here? You had the greatest leader after Moshe, and you guys are too busy to give him a proper eulogy. Our tradition is that the elders were quick to pass away after Yoshua died because they should have led the people to do proper eulogy. And then right afterwards, Elazar, the high priest, dies. And he's also buried in the mountainous in Givat Pinchas, in the mountainous regions of Ephraim. And now we enter the period of the judges, and that's where we'll pick up next time.